This is gonna be cool.
The topics and opinions expressed on the Dudes and Beer podcast are intended for an audience of 18 and up and are solely those of the host and guest. They neither reflect the opinions or values of either the sponsors of Dudes and Beer or your mother. I mean, seriously, have you ever heard these guys? They'll talk about anything.
Whoa, hey, you think they're gonna show it?
They'll probably just blur it out.
Whoa, check it out, Beavis.
Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 77. This is the official Dudes and Beer Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
We're
here
in the backyard at my Jordan compound here in Austin, Texas. Joined with me, as always, Nelson Kugel, Stephen Bishop.
What's
we have
guys?
A new guest today.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Georgia Kelly, my wife Amy's cousin. And we'll also have Amy Jordan of the Yes But Why podcast. Shortly, Confucius Jones from Fuck Your Opinion and those damn comic book guys should be joining us. And here, when we come back from this break, we will officially drop the bird in the oil and start this party rolling, guys.
Sweet.
Right after this.
Hey, he don't even have a license, Lisa.
Crazy drunk driver.
Hey, everybody. Chris Jordan, host of the Dudes and Beer podcast here. Has this ever happened to you? Tired of looking in your rearview mirror after a couple of drinks with friends or worrying about no-refusal weekends and DUI stops? Are you planning a night on the town and want an easy, safe way to get around while still having fun? Well, Fare is the ride service for you. Simply download the easy-to-use and free Fare app from the Google Play Store or iTunes Marketplace and use promo code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to save 10% off your ride. Have a Fare driver you liked riding with? You can not only give them a review and tip, but you can add them to your preferred drivers list on your Fare app and request them every time you ride with Fare. You can schedule rides with Fare to pick you up immediately or as far as 30 minutes to 7 days in advance, eliminating the need for last-minute calls and allowing you to pre-schedule pickups in locations other than your home city. Perfect for those traveling for business or for fun. So don't forget to stop on by and download that free Fare app and use the coupon code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to get 10% off your ride. That's right, don't forget, the coupon code is DUDES10. So be like Dudes and Beer, everybody. Party safe, use Fare, and drink responsibly. And on that note, what all you guys been up to this week, man? Give me a little talk. I'm going to hop over here and drop a bird in the oil.
Yeah. Oh, well, shoot. Yesterday was pretty dope with that recording session we had.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys recorded some stuff for the
sure
Centers of
did.
Attention. What was it all about?
Oh, it was. How many songs did we do?
Six?
Yeah, we did, I think, at least six.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say seven.
We took a couple takes on one, but I think all in all, it was six songs.
We did a live recording. Ooh, listen to that turkey.
Woo-hoo!
That sounds awesome. How often do you get to hear that? That's so dope.
Whoa.
Just to see all that oil popping.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer that way of cooking a turkey.
Oof, oof.
I prefer
if I had gloves on. There you go.
Oh my god.
It smells so good.
That's the whole part of fun.
Alright, the oil temperature's coming down. See, that's the trick, folks. You actually have to cook the bird at 350. So, to displace the weight of the bird and the temperature of the bird, you actually have to put your oil up to around 425 whenever you start it. Otherwise, if you drop it in at 350, it's going to drop down to 300 in your first 10 minutes where it should be really crispifying things and sealing in oil. It will actually be soaking up oil. So.
What if you don't thaw it?
Oh, if you don't thaw it, you will have a massive explosion.
That's what you heard about on the news.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the
like
danger that you see on the news every year. But.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to blow shit up.
Yeah.
And get hot oil sprayed everywhere. Yes.
And that took us right down to 360 on temperature.
Wow.
So that's beautiful.
It's still like exploding with...
It sure did.
Well, no, it's exploding with juicy goodness right now.
Yeah. It was coming out the neck, and it was just like this volcano of oil going all over his hand.
Poor Chris. I'm sorry I made you wear your nice
thanks,
shirt.
Man.
Hey, man,
thanks,
that's all right.
Sacrifice.
We should have got you that big rubber glove or something.
Yeah. Cooking is all about sacrifice.
Absolutely.
You gotta love what you do, man. And I will say that was, you know, like, I'm a straight A VTech now, but it was always my guarantee that whenever I moved to a new town, until I found gigs, I could always go work a kitchen.
Right.
I could always go work a kitchen, you know? And, yeah, I loved it. I loved cooking. I loved the aspect of it, the creative part of it. You know, sure, we had a recipe, but hey, man, every dish was prepared individually. So, you know, like, sometimes things get a little different.
Right.
You know?
I learned something about cooking last night. Don't cook when you're drunk. Because I went to go taste that, and man, I stuck it to my tongue. And now I've got this huge burnt spot right on the tip of my tongue.
Well, yeah, you definitely got to remember to let things cool down. One of the things we had to be patient for and let cool down was these badass cracklings that we made.
Thank
you. Nelson had never had cracklings before. A lot of people haven't. It's literally bacon. It's bacon with the skin still on it. You can buy it from a good butcher. I got mine at Fiesta, actually, and it was $2.99 a pound. I got 3 pounds of it.
So
sliced it up. Chopped it up into diced pieces and threw it into some 400-degree oil, and it came out absolutely
delicious. How long does it take in that oil? Just about 5 minutes?
About 5-10 minutes,
really?
Something like that per batch.
Nice.
The smaller the batch, the less time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you definitely want to...
Cracklings are awesome.
Yeah, they're great. There's a bowl of them right there. Enjoy yourself.
They're tasty.
There's also samosas in there.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
With coriander chutney and a methi. It's good stuff. Do you like Indian?
Mm-hmm. I sure do. I like samosas.
We're at a perfect 350, folks.
Nice.
This is going to be great. Because we can actually time. You want to cook your bird 3 minutes per pound. All right? Plus 5 minutes. So we're looking at 53 minutes right at an hour-long episode. When we finish this, we'll actually take the bird out, let it cool down, and then we'll sit down and eat.
How many birds can you cook with that same oil?
Probably two.
Oh, yeah?
Two, maybe three.
Huh.
But I'll probably burn this oil after this because it's got all the bacon fat in it.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be one of the also really good things about this bird is it'll be soaked in all that nice bacon fat. So
I brought another bird with me.
Yeah, no. I don't know if we're cooking another bird tonight. So yeah. It's been fun though. I've been making quite the menu today. I made some pumpernickel stuffing. And we've got pumpernickel sausage stuffing, and we've got some collard greens that I made up, and we've got some badass acorn squash, Georgia actually brought some food as well. She brought some cookies, some dessert.
Sweet.
Some bacon cornbread.
Bacon cornbread.
Amy made some baller mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
So we are set, ladies and gentlemen, over here.
Yeah.
It's going to be soon. Confucius will show up, and the party will be complete.
Did you use
Steve-O's mom's going to be coming. A friend of Amy's is going to be coming whenever we eat. So it's going to be great, man. It's going to be great.
Dope.
What's your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? Like, what as kids, what did y'all look forward to?
Family?
Yeah. I like the whole family gathering, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, family never get to see all the time.
And buku amounts of food.
All the times you've had with them is always... Great times.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Vertical and breathing.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that was
usually
one of
everybody was so talkative and until they, you know, everybody starts chowing down and then everybody's stuffed.
Yeah.
And then it gets kind of quiet, you know.
I liked it because my Uncle Joey always came in town and he was always my inspiration. He's the actor in the family that I followed in the footsteps of, but he and my dad would get going with jokes, and they'd be sitting there and riffing, and oh, God, I never heard my dad so funny as when Joey was around, so yeah. Whenever Joey came into town, and George's mom was hilarious. I mean, we'd be eating, and the three of them would just be throwing things around, like laughing, and I was like, oh, this is the fun stuff, you know, because you see them all individually, And they're fine and they're funny. But when they get with each other and they can just start razzing, oh, so fun.
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah, I suppose I do miss my family from Boston. I haven't seen them in a while. We'll call them later.
I miss the stuffing, the Papa Pachico stuffing.
Oh, wow. Oh yeah. I'm Portuguese, and they made special Portuguese stuffing, which had like three different kinds of meat in it.
Oh, yeah.
Meat and a little bit of bread.
Nah, maybe bread. I can't even imagine if there was. Wow. It was like breadcrumbs.
Interesting. That sounds good.
Yeah, it was like, turducken. It's meat on meat on meat. It was a
little tip, folks. Don't drop the thermometer in the oil.
Just a little tip.
Oh, another big tip that people forget. Number one, make sure to take your giblets out because, unfortunately, unlike cooking, it might be all right if that little bag's in there. Frying, that thing's going to crisp up and burn in there, and you're going to end up with some nastiness. You also got to make sure to take the thermometer out of the turkey. A lot of people fail to take the thermometer out of the turkey. Then you got the nice thigh meat, there in the breast. You have this nice melted plug of plastic.
Right.
So you got to make sure to remove that.
Yum.
The other trick is actually injecting it. You got to get yourself a big old meat syringe. And mine is actually, it's about half a beer with about 3 cups of strained Italian dressing, along with some cayenne pepper and about a stick and a half of butter melted into it.
Yum.
Seems right.
And then I inject that. I thaw the turkey out a couple days before, and I inject it in there at least a day or so before, and like literally that butter and everything will congeal inside of there. And that way, whenever it hits the oil, it all turns liquid again and just crisps the skin. And yeah.
Yeah, three days ago when he made this thing to inject, I'm in the other room. I don't know what he's doing. He comes running in, like sticks his finger in my mouth. Taste this. I'm like, what is happening
what
right now?
What the fuck?
Yeah, with some of the butter dressing.
I was like, what? I was like, get out of here. What are you doing? He's like, no, it's delicious. And I was like, okay, I'll give you that. It is delicious, but what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm getting the turkey ready. I was like,
yeah, I'm busy injecting the turkey. And yeah, you feel like a Dr. Frankenstein, because you're sitting there with this huge needle and like, putting it in at like this right angle and massaging the meat while you inject it, so it just works its way through the pores. It's okay. It's like whenever they give you a tetanus shot and they're working it. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Don't know that
I've had to get a lot of shots and inoculations. It wasn't that I was a sickly kid.
I tried to skip those.
Well, part of it was because I worked for the school district for a little while as a substitute teacher. Whenever you go to work around kids, especially young kids, you got to get different inoculations and make sure you're up on like TB shots and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the rubella. Kids get you sick. Mm-hmm. The rubella, all that.
I will tell you this: my immune system was never as strong since or before, like my immune system is amazing now because I spent years around like elementary and junior high school kids. Mm-hmm. So there's always a snotty one somewhere. Yeah. Right. There's always one oozing something from somewhere, and it's like
you have to be exposed to it. You get immune to
Once you're around it, really start to like build up this true immunity to stuff. And you can ask Amy, like in the 5 years we've been together, maybe like once I've had the flu.
It's like the whole thing of the flu shot is like they're actually giving it to you, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're giving you a dead virus. They're giving you a dead virus. The problem with the flu shot is that there are so many strains of the flu, it's really kind of a gamble. Like the gamma globulin that they give you and that has it in there may have like 2 or 3 of them, but hopefully those are the 2 or 3 floating around that year.
Right.
If another 2 or 3 floating around, your flu shot did nothing.
Oh, no.
So, but it is definitely something, like my wife being pregnant made sure she had a flu shot. Flu can easily lead to pneumonia if untreated, stuff like that. So,
I've had a few of them pneumonias before.
I will admit the fact right here on microphone, I lied to my doctor.
I was like, awful.
I am. I'm an awful human being. I was like, I went to Walgreens.
Bad man.
Oh, okay. Done. I don't get flu shots. Like, I don't know.
You
I guess
you need to get a flu shot so that you don't sicken me.
But you've had the flu shot, so I won't sicken
Good
you.
Point.
See?
My wolves.
Now you see the flaw in the theory. That's the roulette of it. But I consider it as the fact of my immune system will get better. Will I vaccinate my child? Of course. course. You know?
Yeah, but that kid's never been around a bunch of elementary and junior high kids to enhance their immune system.
Exactly. pardon me while I eat a crackling.
They could be the snotty one.
Yeah,
he could be the snotty one.
Could be.
Turns out my kid's the snotty one.
Right?
I think we were
We will have the Uzi one at some point.
Yeah.
Uzi.
We all played the snotty one at one point.
Yeah. Makes me think of the Peanuts character.
I think I might have been that one like a few times.
Man, the bird already looks golden brown.
What's your temp for you?
Bring it up a little bit. We went down to about 335.
Uh-oh.
What do you got to keep it at to keep it cooking good?
350.
Ah, fancy.
335 is not bad.
Yeah.
Nice.
Chris, I brought you a surprise today.
Oh, yeah? What'd you bring me?
Today, I brought you some taco from Peru.
Ooh, sweet.
Ooh, that's I'm unique. Jealous.
Heck yeah, man. Where'd you get this?
Two of my girlfriends just got back.
Oh, that's right.
And Misty and Olivia, and that was one of my gifts. And awesome. I thought, I'm going to share with somebody I love who I know will like it.
That's cool.
I love the smell of Palo Santo. Thank you so much.
Good.
Yeah.
That is I like you know what Palo Santo
it's like a, it's like a vanilla plus it cedar smells. Smell.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of a mixture there.
Yeah.
Like that's a mint amazing. And a citrus.
Kind yeah.
Of yeah, smell? That's cool stuff.
It's good
that
stuff.
Is cool, man. Yeah.
It's a piece of wood, guys, for people who aren't witnessing us sniffing these things. This
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
I would like to smoke brisket with that.
Ooh.
Like get some wood chunks of it.
That'd be some holy brisket.
Yeah, that'd be
right?
Amazing.
Holy brisket.
Holy. This isn't just brisket, y'all. This is holy brisket.
Peru is quite honestly somewhere that I've always wanted to go. I would love to go to Machu Picchu.
Okay.
I was very, very blessed whenever we went on our honeymoon to, of course, go to Chichen Itza. I hadn't been there since I was a kid. But I got to bring my crystals with me and, like, meditate at the temple with my crystals.
Nice.
And, you know, stuff like that. And it was great. It was an absolutely awesome experience. We got to swim in the cenote and stuff beforehand.
How was the customs with the crystals and all? Did they give you any issues? No?
No
big deal with the crystals?
No, mm-hmm. Not really.
No,
not
I mean, they're just, you know.
Yeah, they're rocks.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, it's not like we took them from Mexico and brought them back. We just had them with us.
Well, and there is a thing, like, if you're bringing rock specimens back, like rock. Agates, things like that. That's a different story. You do have to declare that because that's kind of like bringing back dirt samples, things like that. You can have all kinds of microbes on that. However, crystals are much more like glass and they don't necessarily have that issue. So normally you'll be okay bringing crystals back. You don't necessarily have to declare them as rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did spend over a certain amount on them, you should rightfully declare them with customs as something that you purchased.
Oh, yeah, if we purchased anything in Mexico and brought it back...
We bought a shit ton of liquor at the duty-free shop.
We did.
Like, we literally just ran out of that liquor.
And we still have the liquor.
Yeah, oh, well, I mean, we still have the Zabactun. We still have that, yeah, from our trip. That was cool, because we got to go see these dancers during our lunch and stuff like that, and bought some of their Mayan beverage that they drink.
Nice.
We should. We could break out the Zabactun.
We could. Let's not break out the one. There's two
bottles. No, not our bottle. Our bottle's for our anniversary.
A small one that has like a picture of us on the front. So they like sell it to you where they're like, hey, you want to get this, you know, fifth of it? And then they take a photo of you and then they print it and that's the like label on the front of it. So it's our honeymoon picture. It's the two of us all in bathing suits for the honeymoon, like on the front of it, and I was like, "Yeah, let's wait to drink that until we're like 10 years
yeah,
in."
Yeah, until like our 10-year anniversary,
10th anniversary, and then we're like, "Remember how young we were? Let's drink it."
Keep going. I'm gonna pour some junk.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, we bought so much in the duty free. Yeah, any money that we had left over, all the money that we got from our wedding, we spent on trips to go around Mexico while we were there because. Chris's father kindly got us the stay at this resort that he had been to before.
Huh.
And it was really lovely. this lovely resort. But Chris and I are not really resort people necessarily. Like, we're not like good, here's the beach. Let's just sit on the beach all 5 days that we're here.
Right.
Instead, every single day we went to the travel thing, and then we went to Chichen Itza, and we went to this water park that was all, and it was in 2012, so it was right when the Mayan end of the world thing was happening.
It was made out of
honey. Stuff was intense and
perfect
wild,
timing.
You know.
Yeah.
It was really good. And really fun. And we went everywhere. Yeah, it's very much like Sambuca.
Mm-hmm.
We got all sorts of trips and stuff
you get
like that.
The secretary.
Oh, I was actually really pleased that
no,
it was
dude,
our first
you get the guitar
big
later.
Trip.
Oh, even
and I was pleased he wanted to do adventure stuff. Like, it wasn't just let's just sit here and do nothing. It was hey, let's climb into this, let's go down 27 flights of stairs to this cenote deep underground and swim. And they were it's real cold. And we were let's go.
Yeah, where they used to sacrifice people.
I was going
to
say, right?
We're used to being water.
So, this is Zabactun. This is a traditional Mayan drink. It's made out of fermented honey.
It smells really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. So,
smell.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
L'chaim, ladies.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Ladies.
Let's have us a little Zabactun. This has literally never been cracked, so.
Oh, I'm a glass. It's fine.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
So licorice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that licorice, huh?
Yeah.
It's really delicious.
Yeah, it's really good.
Wow.
It's really good. It's thick, though. It's thick.
Yeah,
it's really got that. It's got that
it's a good
honey.
Something for mix, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like crunchy bacon.
Well, it's great to base stuff with.
Yum.
But I thought y'all might enjoy that little Mayan treat.
Mayan
treat for Thanksgiving.
Mayan now.
It's a special occasion. So.
Do you want
to
try them?
I'm glad to know.
No.
I'm glad to know that I definitely can't try it. That you want to go to Peru, though. Now I'm okay, great. Let me start pricing
dude,
that
check out. Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu, the Nazca Lines, there's other stuff in Peru, just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's also
llamas and cats.
Yeah, but there are also some cool mines. Like, I wouldn't mind going to a couple of mines and going down and checking out some crystals and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about this backyard. And you'll have to walk around Georgia and find yourself a present. But the people that own this house are lapidarists. They're people like me. They are rock hounds, except they're a retired couple who literally travel the country collecting rock specimens and stuff. And while I was just kicking around one day whenever we first moved here, I was like, oh, that's a pretty round rock. And I picked it up, and it was a slice of agate. And obviously stuff that wasn't fully formed geodes, but still cool looking. But if it's not a fully formed geode, they can't sell it. You know, maybe they could sell it to a rock shop by the pound, but they aren't going to be able to take it to a show and sell it necessarily.
Right.
Unless it's a big piece that really shines up nice and you can make bookends out of it or something. So scattered around the yard, literally in the last week while I was doing all the blowing, I found another 3 pieces of amber in my backyard, just all these different rock samples that are scattered around. So make sure to have the Easter egg hunt that is my backyard, guys, and find yourself a nice slice of agate before you leave.
That's what she said. But, I see the minion over there. I might take that with me.
Right?
Yeah, we found after Chris the lawn was all covered with leaves, and then we got a blower from his brother, and he blew all the leaves to the edges to get out of the way just to clean it up a little bit, and found all these random toys just left from the previous residence. He was like, oh, I guess there's a minion doll, and but the cats seem to enjoy it. They were kicking it around.
I think that
so
minion over
go.
There is.
Right?
That's a pretty ancient artifact over there.
Yeah, that minion is from the olden days.
Yeah,
the
olden days. 2011 or something.
Yeah, it's so many years ago.
So long ago. Just too long.
Yeah.
Time is flying, though. I feel like it is.
Oh, yeah, most
definitely.
Can't
believe it's already, end of November 2016.
Yeah.
By 2016.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Goodbye. Good riddance.
You know
what's
funny? I was actually thinking the other day how funny it'll be, when my kid gets old enough to kind of think about their own age and then my age and to be like, you're born in 1978?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy. Because it'll be for them, they'll be in the... The 2000s, it won't even occur to them that
I already get that at
existed,
work from kids
you know?
I work with.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like their first job and stuff, and it's like, you're old. How old are you again? I'm like, oh yeah. My God.
Well, it's like we were saying on the show the other. It's like we were saying on the show the other night. Like back in the day, whenever you had a research paper, like son, you had to go research. Like you had to go to the library and dig through a card catalog, and then maybe go through some microfiche and like print some stuff up off microfiche, you know, things like that, to get a report done. Now it's like literally, I have a friend of mine who teaches at the Art Institute. He teaches recording. Shout out to Jeremy and your wife and your upcoming babies. And literally, he's like, they don't realize that all we have to do is copy and paste a paragraph of their stuff and put it into Google.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see where they stole it from.
Right.
Where they stole it from.
So bad. Is that like the first thing he does?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is too literally. Smart. Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait a minute. This is way not what they would be doing. You know? And boop, copy and paste a paragraph in, and it'll like show you the reference that it comes from. Ugh. And he's like, we catch him cheating all the time. The time, because they don't even like rewrite stuff, you know. Like, you could gladly put that in quotes and give your opinion afterward. You can fill in the rest with your opinion, and that would be perfectly acceptable. Just put it in quotes and notate it at the end.
I've heard that stuff being done recently on the news, but it was by our Department of Defense, and they caught them doing reports that they just copied off of
Wikipedia and stuff like that. Yeah. They were getting their facts off Wikipedia and shit.
Problem is, number one, Wikipedia is like the people's history book, which means anybody in the world can submit to it and write whatever they want.
Yeah.
So it can be lies entirely.
Well, not necessarily. There are people that are hired with Wikipedia that actually
research
that and do research it to make sure it's not completely false.
Oh, I'm sure some of it, but like there's a lot of stuff you can't catch. What was it?
Yeah.
There's a podcast I listen to, and the guy will go to the person's Wikipedia page to learn about them, and so he'll bring stuff up to them, and I've heard more than once the person go, "No, I'm not from there," or like,
"No, I never went
to that place."
Right.
He's like, "Weird, your Wikipedia page says that." I'm like, "Oh, I have to tell my people to get rid of that," you know, and it's like, crap, you know,
personal,
you never know.
Information, yeah.
But the thing about the them using the internet is these days, you know, there's all those people doing fake news and fake history and all sorts of insanity.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, heck, there's just recently been a whole like Google folder of, I recently saw a bunch of people posting this thing, and it was like, here is a list of all the sites that are not reputable news sources.
Yeah.
You can't, like, don't post something that said that they did because they don't research their stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't retweet their things. Don't post it up on Facebook. They're not fact-checking. So, so beware of that kind of stuff. And it's nice that people care, but I worry that years in the future when the kids have access to the internet and they can use it, that they could potentially have just lies forever.
Well, and it's kind of like I was saying about that new technology, Voco, coming out by Adobe, where all you need is a 20-minute sample of somebody's voice, and you can make them say anything.
Yeah.
And literally, like I said the other night, I could literally type out an episode. There's enough stuff of me talking out there on the internet.
Yeah.
I could put it in there, type in the text of an episode, and put it into Voco, and it'll spit it out just the way I talk. It'll spit it out with the inflections and everything. So, yeah, you could literally take anybody's voice. You could take any public figure that has a video on YouTube of a speech that's 15, 20 minutes long, type anything you want, and have a copy of that person saying that.
Yeah, but there's still going to be the fact that someone's going to be watching that video and that will go viral, but the people that were actually there at the event and heard him specifically, and then you have, you know, 40 journalists there that are recording the same thing he said.
It's not necessarily...
There's going to be a 40-to-1
Well, it's that, it's that you're using that as a sample to be able to put into the computer to articulate whatever it is that you type.
Yeah,
so
like
now you could type any text.
Event.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that event.
Right.
It's the fact that it uses that as a voice print analysis to get the inflection and the speed and the accent with which the person talks, and then you can type in whatever text you want. Like I said the other night, it's going to be a great thing for the film industry. Imagine doing a movie with Robert De Niro. It's going to cost a shit ton of money to get Robert De Niro back into the studio to come do ADR, the after audio work, you know, wearing quiet scenes and stuff, they need a little bit more presence. So they'll have the actor come in and voice over their stuff because they know the meter in which they set it.
In the future, they won't even need him
showing
up.
They won't need him showing up. They can literally just plug in the text to this program because they've got 20 minutes of Robert De Niro talking throughout the
movie. The point that I made when he first brought this up to me was that I don't believe that they'll be allowed to do that based on current legalities when it comes to people's likenesses and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Crispin Glover case.
After Back to the Future 1, when Crispin Glover was in that, he was a young man and he had to play his older version, right, mm-hmm. as the dad. In the second movie, they opted not to hire him and they instead hired some actor they could pay less money to and use the prosthetics that they had put on his face to put on this guy's face. And he sued. Ooh. And now there is precedent out there that you can't do that for actors. So I'm sure that it's going to be similar to that where any actor will have something in their contract that'll say, like, I'd rather come to the studio and do ADR than worry about you having the ability to use my voice.
Sure.
Because their voice is what they have. That's their
But like
thing
I said, could
sell,
it,
you know?
Could it, could it possibly be the case, though, especially if you have old school type contracts where it's like you are committed to Sony for 8 pictures. Doesn't matter what they are. They could be crap, they could be good, but you're doing 8 pictures. And that's how people end up, you know, doing crap movies after they've done like 2 or 3 blockbusters. And it's
they're
like, what the hell is this tripe? They're obligated by contract, just like a band is, to do 3 albums for Sony Records, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what Billy Joel did. Mm-hmm. He wanted to get out of his contract. He had one record left, so he released a record of just
crap.
Here you go. Here's all my B-sides that I don't fucking want, but it's a record. Right. And then he went and signed somewhere else and released Piano Man, and things went crazy. And he got to keep a lot more of his money because he got to renegotiate his contract on the little bit of fame that he already had.
But I think things like that, lessons that have been learned along the way by people like Billy Joel and, you know, things like back in the day with Motown Records where the record company owned everything and those people literally have no stake in anything.
Well,
every time this happens, an artist learns the next way how they have to protect themselves, which makes me feel like this technology will not be able to be used
copyright
in
your
movies
voice.
In a real way. Maybe individually.
What I'm saying, though, is what happens if Robert De Niro is signed on with Sony Records for 5 movies, he does 3, he dies. Technically, he's still contractually obliged. We could absolutely use this software, digitally animate him or the character
that
he's going to play.
I feel confident.
I'm just saying it's something that they're going to have
dead.
To do.
I feel like once you're dead, you're pretty much out of your contract. Do I let that go?
Well, yeah, there's going to be policies
also,
and regulations.
Wouldn't that be creepy?
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm saying, though. They could alter the contracts to where that's the case.
With the late
Again,
voice
I just,
late
I feel like
I don't think
so
it's
much entertainment legal crap.
Yeah.
There's no way. I feel like it's 1,000 times more likely that people who are like speakers, like TED Talk type people, or people who travel around the world that do speeches, you know, Tony Robbins, he might be able to do that because he's like, listen, I'm tired.
He can project himself
around
as a hologram and just have the audio
why
track
not?
Going.
And then he just types it out.
Yeah.
He uses the thing. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, if he loses his voice, but his whole job is to speak.
Yeah.
He could just be there. You know, things like people like Stephen Hawking. If we knew what Stephen Hawking really sounded like before, you know, we couldn't understand him and he was just had the computer speaking for him.
Yep.
Like, you could use that now and input it into his system.
Oh, yeah.
And then anything that he said would be in his voice. And
I used
future,
to have,
I think that's what will help in a real way. But
I used to have Dr. Spatzo, and I actually, it was a program that came with your Sound Blaster sound card back in the day, for all you nerds out there. but it was a text, it was one of the first text-to-speech programs, and it would get inflections wrong. You had to, like, spell things phonetically, you know, in order for it to say things properly. But it had the utterly computer voice, you know, and I had a tiny little speaker, like, rigged up in the corner of my door jamb. And I'd literally screw with people that were coming down the hall and, like, type it and have it say shit to them, things like that. It was funny. It was a nice little prank for a little while until people figured out what it was.
I remember my sister and I, when we had, like, Windows, probably 95 or 3.1.
Ooh.
But it had, there was a voice operator where you can type into it and it would say anything out.
Yeah, yeah.
And my sister, she typed in, what is up, home loaf on a skillet?
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, just some craziness, and it was just super fucking...
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, it's hilarious, man.
On the skillet.
Yeah, like, but it's gotten crazy. Like I was saying the other night, with Dragon Nuance software now, like, you don't even... used to be you had to read, like, these 3 pages, and it was from, like, Moby Dick. you know, I think they gave you like three choices of what to read. And you can still do that, and it'll be much more accurate. But you can literally throw an MP3 file in, and it'll just start typing. And, it, I mean, like, the show I worked on, I did it because our host would, we had four-hour-long episodes, and he would always talk about stuff that was going to happen, and when it happened, he'd be like, I said this, somebody go find it. And it's like, great, now we got to go back and comb through months of four-hour episodes to see where he said this.
He did that constantly.
I was like, why don't we just get Dragon software? It won't tell us the difference between the host and the speaker, you know, the host and the guest or anything. It's not going to transcript it out for you. But it'll at least transcribe everything, and then we could just control F and find what we're looking for in a document and be able to go pull that episode and pull out the audio. So that's what we used it for.
That's my but smart baby.
The Imperial March was one of our intros, you know, dun, dun, dun. And literally, just throwing the file in there without cutting that out or anything, it literally typed out, dum, 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 da dum, dum, da dum, 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 da dum, dum, da dum. Like, it transcribed the music into words. It was like, what the hell, dude? That's just creepy. That's freaky, man. It cracked me up, though, every time that I'd transcribe an episode after I'd go to upload it, that was the first part, was the Imperial March, like, in text. And it took me a minute the first time I saw it. I was like, what the? Did it like just pick up on something and hiccup or what? And then I started reading it and I was like, no, that is Imperial March being written out as D-U-M. It's like, that's fucking awesome.
That's crazy.
But, you know, it doesn't do punctuation or anything like that. But like I was talking to John Bound the other day. I was like, think about it. You know, if you do an episode, you could easily turn it like some of the solo stuff I'm looking at doing for Dudes and Beer and, you know, the Confucius is doing, you could absolutely just throw your stuff into Dragon.
Yep.
It's not going to give you all the punctuation and everything else, but you could go in and clean it up and make it into a blog post and get even more traffic on your website, you know? So it really is a great way to be able to incorporate stuff like that and be able
really
to use
cool.
it. It's pretty sweet. And it's amazing the technology that's there now because, yeah, you know, I remember some of that first stuff. Where you could record your voice, where you could record, like, you know, MIDI from a music device into your, like, Commodore 64.
Right.
Stuff like
MIDI.
That. Yeah.
It's just, MIDI is such a crazy technology that it's still around.
I will admit, well, because you know? It's a beautiful language, really.
It's so uncomplex that it's so transferable to all sorts of software bases.
Yeah, and see,
I anything from Android to iOS.
Yeah,
you know?
I've never actually I've programmed some MIDI tracks, you know, like in synthesizers and stuff, you know, put in tracks, and that's technically programming MIDI. But I've never necessarily sat there and like programmed MIDI into a keyboard. I actually have all my stuff in my unit in my command center. Is set up in rack form, so I have all of my synths tied together. Excuse me. And whenever I hit my keyboards, it's driving all three of them, and I can choose which one comes out to my mixer, and I can actually have like three different synth tracks being played off the same thing, mixed together, coming out as a stereo track, you know, with effects mixed into it and everything.
Nice.
You know, I've got a full digital rig, but I still use it like a big-ass four-track.
Right.
I'm a commit to the mix dude. It drives Alan crazy. Alan Cunningham, shout out to you at Double J Studios. But, yeah, it drives him nuts because it's like, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, make it, like, increase the space, increase the EQ, beef it up, you know. But the delay that I have on there is the delay that I want.
Right.
So, and I just found out I will actually be scoring an upcoming movie by Seymour Films. Shout out to John Seymour. Happy Thanksgiving, my hairy Christian brother. Solitary Confinement is in the wrapping phase of editing right now, and it's a great concept. It's friggin' amazing. I can't wait to see what they did with it. And I really, really can't wait to get a hold of the soundtrack and start doing some crazy psychoacoustic stuff. And just like, you know, like, yeah, I will capture jars of bees and stuff and record it.
Heck yeah.
And just shake them.
I will capture jars of bees, he says.
Yes.
I will capture jar of beads.
Yeah. Probably in his backyard.
Yeah.
Yep, like
possibly.
And run it back and have
not
slow it down.
Yellow Jacket.
I'm actually in the process of writing a song for our son Dalbus. Right now.
Sweet.
I've done the work on his heartbeat and everything that I wanted to do, so to make it into part of the beat of the song. So that's going to be sweet. I can't wait. Kind of get some chops down again. It's been a long time since I recorded, you know. And you guys just did a recording session.
Sure did. It was awesome.
Y'all are playing all the time. What about you, Georgia? You used to write a lot. Have you been writing any more lately?
Most recent thing I submitted was to Real Simple Magazine.
Okay.
Fingers crossed.
Rock on.
Nice.
Contest.
Find out in January. It's about life lessons.
Oh, nice. Lessons.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Want to share anything about that?
Yeah.
Give us a little primer. What was it about?
It was about my fall from grace.
Okay.
And learning how to put the drink down and figuring out who I was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Pretty dope.
Absolutely. Deep stories.
Yeah. Deep I like stories. Real Simple. I used to subscribe to that magazine. It's a great magazine.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. All over the place. Just food recipes, so daily activities, and just like how to stay organized.
They got it real simple, huh?
Right? Yeah,
that's their
attitude.
You understand.
I'm on top, player.
Shit.
I'm on top.
Yeah. The cool thing about the contest, too, being I wish there was a way that we could read all of the submissions, because I think it's so interesting to hear a person's personal experience.
Yeah.
Because you never know what bit of another person's personal experience really hits home with you.
For sure,
right.
Where you're like, oh, yeah, you know, like, that is something that I need to deal with. Oh, they dealt with it this way.
Well,
how great.
And that's a lot of what your Yes But Why podcast is about.
It has to do with my world, which is the world of an artist trying to live it full time and what that's about. And so I try to interview other people right now around town. We've done a couple that weren't from Austin, but... And we'll eventually do more outside of Austin.
We did
but
get to do
like,
Kevin McDonald. Come
we
on.
We did Kevin McDonald, and then we also had Valerie Tosse, who is a stand-up from Los Angeles as well. So different people that I've met who have come into town. Just about, like, doing the... being an artist for your life and what that means and, you know, like, how that... I think I was inspired by You Made It Weird, which is the podcast with Pete Holmes, listening to him talk about, you know, just being a comedian and meeting people and, like, moving on his career. And I was inspired by that to hear these different people at different points in their career. So I thought, okay, let me go to the improv world and the stand-up world here and talk to people that aren't famous and figure out how they're doing it, you know. And just to show to people that you don't need to be... famous to have a fulfilling life. Like,
That's right. You
could be working hard on your art every day, and maybe the audience that you have isn't totally huge, but that doesn't make the work that you're doing any less important.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's just it. I mean, it's something that I love about you. It's a big reason I married you, is because you define your personal level of success. You decide when you're successful. You don't believe in other people's concept of success. Success to me is a very personal thing, and it's have you achieved at least what you want to do? Have you at least gotten to the point that you would want to personally get to? Whether you make money with it or not, that to me does not define success. So
I think success is your own personal ladder, you know, moving from one thing to the next thing.
Yep.
What do I learn? What's the next thing I need to learn? What's the next hurdle? How do I want to use what I've learned to either help people or help myself? And like, you got to choose whether that's your path. Am I going to help other people? Am I going to help myself? You know, and recently somebody made a joke. One of my friends who was an Austin-based improviser, Jeff Whitaker, great guy. He moved to L.A., and he's really getting into it. And recently, one of the sketches that he wrote and filmed was highlighted on Splitsider as, like, being really well-written. Like, the whole article is actually just about how well-written this sketch is. And I was like, what a great... Like, it's not just like, look at the famous people and how funny they are. Like, it's like, watch this for the minute details that really highlight this joke. And I'm like,
what? That's what a great article.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome.
And I was like, I can't wait until I see you on TV and I get to, you know, be so excited and I'm, you know, I'll burst into tears with so much excitement for seeing you and your hard work. And he responded back, oh, you mean vengeful tears? And I was like, oh, you've been in LA too long. No, I don't hate other people
right.
who have success that's different from mine, or that's like,
yeah.
Oh, they're on TV. I worked with them and they're on TV. I don't hate them. I'm proud of them. I'm excited for them. Right. Every single time, there's a ton of people that I've worked with throughout my career that are on TV right now. They're in movies right now. And whenever I see them, I feel like, oh my God, that's so great. I don't think like, oh, I'm cool because I know them. I'm thinking like, oh man, they worked so hard and they put so much effort into it. And that matters too. I think
that's
a big part of success, is to be able to appreciate and acknowledge other people's around you and to know that you had a part in that as well. I was just talking to my uncle about that as well. He's working on a play. And he, there was going to be an actor that was going to take over a role that he had been working on when he was helping the, helping this other performer. And he was a little like, oh, you know, I wish I got to play it. And I said, you know what? This play would not be as far along and have the success where they want this famous person to do this role if you hadn't helped the writer make it better. If you hadn't constantly been there for that person as they went on their journey and said, hey, what about this? Hey, and read it for them so they could hear it. I was like, your contribution to the process matters.
Right.
Whether or not you're the person who ends
That's
up
right.
being in the like final cut Marvel movie, if you're the person who sits next to that writer and says like, oh, that was good, or like, what if this happened? Like, that is an important part of the whole process.
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting that you were bringing up Marvel. I was texting back and forth with Brother Mike last night. Shout out to Mike Davis in Pennsylvania. He's been a guest on the show. He's kind of one of our financial analysts for the show.
Indeed. And
but
family.
We were talking the other day, you know, because of the baby and stuff. We had like a good hour-long conversation like we do. And we were talking about the baby. And he started bringing up shows on Netflix that they were watching. And I'm trying to remember what it was that they just got finished watching. That he was like, oh, yeah, that was... Oh, he was like, they had two episodes left of Stranger Things.
Oh, great.
And I'm like, oh, good show, man, good show. Have you seen this? And I started talking about Mr. Strange and Dr. Norrell.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know what? I owned that book, and that's one of the only books that I ever put down and stopped reading because it was friggin' horrible. And that's the same thing that Billy Stewart said from ScaryDad.com. He was like, that book was absolutely horrible.
Huh.
I was like... I have no preconceived notions because of the book, and I am not a fan of most shows that are Britannia. And my wife knows this. She's an Anglophile. I don't really get into a lot of the British shows for some reason. There's something about the way it's filmed, the character development that's different that I just don't get into. But that was a really well-done show to me. And I told them about Luke Cage. I was like, you gotta check out Luke Cage. I was like, don't necessarily watch it with the kids. Maybe it'd be good enough to watch with the oldest. It's like, your oldest might be old enough to
Too
handle
much
some of
coffee
it.
Coffee all the time.
Yeah, yeah. There's there's not a lot of coffee having, but he started looking. And he was like, oh man, I got a little homework to do for Thanksgiving weekend. You know, since I'm off for 4 days, we're gonna sit back and watch some shows. And he texted me last night at like 7 o'clock. He's like, yo, brother, the guy in Luke Cage, Mike Coulter. That was the guy I would hang out with at Rutgers playing drinking games and stuff like that.
Dude, that's cool.
So, speaking of that cursorily knowing famous people, you know, it's like, dude, that's awesome. My buddy used to, like, hang out and play drinking games and shit with the star from Luke Cage.
That's so awesome.
It's so awesome. So,
I love that. When we finished watching Luke Cage, I was so excited about the show.
Yeah,
me too. I
burst into tears because I was so excited for Mike Coulter because, you know, he's been side characters in a bunch of stuff, but he's the lead in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And the show was so killer. And I was like, oh, I'm just so... Like,
oh, he carries it. He carries it so well.
Mm-hmm. You know, clearly he's in his 40s. He's like been an actor for a long time, and now he is the lead, and he's going to be in tons of other stuff as this character.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, so excited for him because he got this great. Nice. Oh, what a great break for him.
Right.
Yeah,
I was excited.
Well,
now Mike knows him,
and
so
it's
much fun.
It's really something, and it's an example
really
of you
cool.
know like. Damn, Mike was at Rutgers almost 20 years ago, you know? So
I was like,
You think about that. That's how long this guy's been working on acting until he got this role. Right. Like yeah. she said, he's been in a lot of cursory roles. He's been in a lot of one-bit roles, but not something where he's carrying the weight of a show. And it does take that type of determination. Mm-hmm. It does take yeah. that long play mindset of what I'm looking for, even as a band. You know, yeah. like if you're looking for like success in 6 months, you got a fucking problem, yeah. dude. Yeah. Like sincerely, you got a real personal problem. And I've told you guys this about Sinners and about any band. You know, yeah. it's literally the fact of everybody has to be pulling equal weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the only way that you get somewhere, because that's a
perseverance, kind of like don't give yeah. up, keep trying, get better.
Don't give up. Do what you're doing. And now, like, good God, you guys have been busy like crazy. Like,
yeah.
all of a couple months ago, y'all were like 2 gigs a week.
Yeah,
you know,
we were at one
for
point.
Like a month.
Yeah,
and for a couple months, yeah.
Yeah, so it's gotten to the point that the name's gotten out there, the music's gotten out there. The last CD was fantastic. I can't wait to hear the new stuff. I've heard a couple of rock tracks.
All the great songs, I feel like, are going to be on this second album.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be eventually, it's already, I think, transitioning maybe. I know a lot of songs that were already, like yesterday, that we recorded in the recording session was already songs that we've had for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're just knocking them out. And putting them down and recording, and there's gonna be some transitions coming up, you know,
yeah.
Different style, you know, maybe heavier or
hopefully
stuff like that. Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
we really need to yeah. progress forward.
Well, if you need a screamo guy, let me know, man. I've always been looking.
I mean, we're not going from Bush to Obama. We're kind of yeah. going from like Bush to.
Okay.
Someone else, you know, a little transition. Yeah.
So no Cookie Monster.
Yeah, no left to right.
No Cookie Monster.
No Cookie Monster.
No
Napalm
Death or nothing.
Definitely, I don't want to play Napalm Death.
The real trick with that music is at 3 minutes, you must have the half tempo breakdown. You know, like it always like
I
just
always,
like drops tempo and goes into something really dark.
I
and
always
deep
thought
and
that stuff would be hard to play because I wouldn't know when the changes are kind of like.
Oh man,
I don't know what he's saying.
I will admit,
well,
living
you
in,
play in a band that's playing
was,
in like B flat,
it was
like
funny to me.
Down tune, you can't hear shit.
Because when I moved to Maine, I was working at a big hippie club in Houston, Last Concert Cafe, and I ran sound there a few nights a week. And all I heard, especially from my friend Coney, because she lived there at one point, was like, oh my God, the head scene there is so amazing. Like, you're going to love the Grateful Dead scene.
Oh, nice.
Deadheads.
Head.
You know, the family.
Yeah, it's like, well, this is the
so
kind of bar
speak.
That I've
like
been missing out this time.
The jam band scene, you know? The fish heads, the
like
dead them. Heads, you know?
Oh, right,
Railroad
right.
Earth fans, stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Maui,
I'm looking
Maui
forward
dog.
To that. Yeah, right? Mostly Maui Wowie, but it's got some Labrador in it.
We're all doing some LSD, man. Go straight to your head.
But
like Stone said, you don't smoke this.
Yeah, I got up there, and it was right at the cusp of that. Like, it was all changing. And I had my Wednesday night, Band Beyond Description night for the Grateful Dead band was, like, my link to sanity. Because every other night of the week was, like, hard rock or heavy metal. And like, there was some talent. There was some sincere talent, you know? Like, whereas Austin truly has that... statistic where every third guy plays guitar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Legitimately.
You know? Legitimately. Yeah. He may not be good at it, but he can pick something out or he can strum a few chords and make his way through a song. Every right. third guy owns a guitar
different.
In Austin. As opposed to that statistic, it's the same, it's almost the same up there, but it's like 2 out of 3 dudes are really fucking badass at it. Because they're locked away during the winter. They can't freaking do anything, dude.
Yeah.
So all they do is jam. That's all they do is sit back for like 4 months out of the year and just write new shit. And even now, like going online and hearing some of the stuff from like Covered in Bees, you know, stuff like that, bands that I loved was the new Elder McCrim stuff. It's like, oh yeah, dude, the fact that they are still together making music is phenomenal to me because it's been like 15 years and... They're a statistic town. You see all these great bands form, and then they just can't do it anymore, like, because it's not an equal effort on everybody's part.
Right.
Everybody isn't pulling their weight.
Right.
You know, and that's really what it takes to succeed, and, you know.
That is a big one there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, also Maine's a weird location because while some people will squirrel away their time to learn better guitar tracks, most people go home and drink or do drugs, and so that'll ruin a band.
Yep.
Hardcore. If all of a sudden you lose the bassist and the drummer to heroin, that's no fun.
There is a big necessarily oxy problem. There is a big opiate problem in Maine. Huge opiate problem
everywhere.
But
this particular place, because like 9 months out of the year, they can't leave their house because it's just so friggin' cold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They just get themselves in this place where they're like, you know, some people, like you said, some people use that time to do hard work.
Either you're
going to
do
like,
something positive or negative during this time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I knew a lot of good people, and I knew a lot of people that were like, my God, I love you. I wish you would just straighten your life out so that your talent was not just wasted away.
Right, exactly.
Like, I've seen that happen with so many musicians where, yeah, they did have problem with drink, they did have problem with hard drugs, they did have those issues, and it's like, it's so painful to see because they're so incredibly talented, and that is what will hold them back. That is what will keep them from getting the gig. Well, I mean,
people heard him.
Yeah. I had a solo guitarist that I worked with a few times, and I loved him. He was great. And some of the most amazing, very Springsteen style, stripped down acoustic songwriting, you know, and I loved working with him, but he was literally one of those that if he had a sip of beer, he wasn't having a sip of beer.
Yeah.
May not stop for a couple days.
Here we go.
So he'd been in and out of the system and stuff like that. He's gotten some help again, and I'm glad to see it. But he was one of those brilliant, brilliant songwriters and guitarists that I knew. And it was just one of those like, man, if you could just stop that.
Mm-hmm.
You could just stop that. And I've had those problems in my life, but I moved to Maine to stop that, you know. It's hard. It's hard to make those life-changing decisions, those pivot moments. And that, to me, a lot is what Thanksgiving is about.
Bring it in.
Is thinking about those moments. Thinking about the moments when I was with my family when I was younger, the pure days, the great days, you know, when you're out rolling in the leaves and your grandpa comes out and brushes the fire off you and says, ah, stop that now. And, you know.
Ah, the old days.
Yeah, all the old days, 24 hours ago.
You know, stop that, kid. You're going to hurt yourself. Comparing that and contrasting that to what I've gone through in life, the things I've had to go through, the journey that I've had to get where I am to this patio today, surrounded by these people that I love. You know, my brother's in arms and electronics, my wife and our cousin that lives here in town. And to me, it's a beautiful thing. It's great. We got the turkey frying in the background. We're going to enjoy some company and some great food. Yeah. And it's going to be awesome. And that's what I'm thankful for, is for the hard journey that I've taken.
Amen.
The hard journey. And let's kind of go around the table and wrap this up. We'll start over here with Steve-O. What are you thankful for on this Thanksgiving, Steve?
What am I thankful for?
Yeah.
I'm still thankful for the family that I still have, the little that I have left. You know, going back on like what we were saying earlier about, you know, what we remembered about Thanksgiving, you know, it used to be those big family events. It's in my family, it's not like that anymore. And and so it's you come to cherish those memories and moments that aren't there anymore, you know. They happen, and when you were living it, or I was at the time, you don't come to know that at that time, but you come to later on, you know, wish you had those again. And so I'm still thankful I have my mother. And
who will be here for dinner?
Yay. She should be here for dinner. And the one that I still have left. And you know, I hope that everybody could you know, have a happy Thanksgiving and have those type of family memories.
Nelson?
I'm thankful for the life lessons that I've learned to be successful where I am at 31. learned a lot. I have a lot of talent that I can contribute.
Dude.
I'm definitely thankful for family. Even though we have differences and other views, we still come together and... Shit, vertical and breathing on this beautiful fall weather we have here in Texas. It's a great day to be outside.
I left that one out.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for, first, I'm thankful that we moved into this rental house.
Right.
Chris and I lived in a crappy apartment.
The slanty shanty.
7 years, and it was no good. And now we have this beautiful house with a beautiful backyard that we were able to, you know, share it with everybody and have like a little outside thing. And I'm thankful for the fact that I'm 38 years old and suddenly pregnant, which is crazy.
Right?
A totally weird thing that I did not expect and is a great surprise. I'm thankful for science because being a over 35 mom means that they're real nervous about everything that you do, but there's crazy amazing science that they get to do that, like, helps out and checks me out, and, like, every time they tell me about some new test I'm going to take, I'm like, that's a thing? Oh, my God! So thank you to all the scientists that did all the work. And all the people in the future, because, like, oh, my God, back in the day, they'd just be like, good luck. Right. And now it's like, they can check me out.
You got it.
You're going to be fine.
Don't fall down any hills.
That's about it.
Stay away from the pennyroyal now.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, so I'm thankful for science, and I'm thankful for our family right here. It's it's nice to have, Georgia lives nearby, so it's nice to have family. Chris and I are... You know, a family and about to have a third with our little Peanut. And I'm also thankful for the Dudes and Beer to be here as well. Also, just a quick little shout out to Nelson for literally being like the first roommate I ever had when I lived in Austin. So,
this
like,
is Nelson. This is Nelson. Mind blown.
Mind blown.
So it's like, Nelson's been with me the whole Austin journey. So now, And we're
we used to talk on the phone while she was at your house.
Nice.
Yeah. We first started talking and everything else right at that time. So
yeah, wow. I remember the first email I ever had with him was like in the bedroom when I was living in at your house. So you know, just family is the people that you are around and that you share things with and that you stick around with. And so
I'm
just glad we've been friends.
Absolutely. Same here, man. The first person I met.
That's Nelson.
Wild.
Georgia, go for it.
I would like to start by saying I am thankful for my relationship with my God.
Yes.
Number one. I am thankful that I recently got my license back.
Yay! Texas driver.
Back on the road. So, super pumped about that. It was a long 6 years of lessons.
Yes.
But got it back.
Absolutely.
super thankful for Amy and Chris helped me change my life a little under 3 years ago, so let me come on down and live with them. Also thankful for the first Thanksgiving in about a decade that I have not worked. That's new, being a bartender server.
So
it feels strange to be outside of work.
Yes. Good for you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And I'm thankful for all the above. I mean, I'm thankful, like I said, for all the memories I've had of great Thanksgivings in the past, sitting around frying turkeys like this, just hanging out with my family, you know, Uncle JB, people like that. That's what always made it for me, was being able to be there with my family, with my loved ones, with the people that I cared about. Every 5 years we do a big UD reunion for Thanksgiving. We'll see what happens with that next year. But like, this to me is better than that. It's absolutely beautiful, guys. So thank you so much for coming and being part of it, of the beautiful day. Thank you for that. And I'm also very thankful for our audience.
Right.
For everybody that listens to our show. We have a lot of fans that run the spectrum, and we're trying to get new platforms for you guys, trying to get you a whole lot more new content, things like that. So keep your eyes out for that. trying to get out a couple, maybe three episodes a week. I'll probably start doing some kind of dad journal or something with the upcoming baby. You know, maybe we'll have like dads and beer, where it's just dads sitting around talking about dad stuff while we drink beer, you know. So
dads,
on that note, everybody.
Dads, dabs, and beer. Yeah. I like
thank
that
you.
One.
I'm down with dabs and beer.
Took it to another level.
Now, on that note, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in, as always, and have a very blessed Thanksgiving with you and your family. Enjoy everything, and always remember, folks, if you can't be good,
be good at it.
Cheers. Can you pull this turkey out, y'all?
Gobble, gobble.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our live audio streams, tune in at dudesandbeer.com or spreaker.com/dudesandbeer. You can find our episodes on soundcloud.com as well as the Google Play and iTunes market. You can also find us on YouTube, Stitcher, and your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.